Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning grateful that you love us, thankful that you love us, thankful that you care for us. And Father, we thank you for your commands to us that we should love you with all our heart, our strength, our mind, and that we should love one another as we love ourselves. Father, sometimes we can read these words in your word and they don't always hit home into our hearts. But Lord, we pray that this morning we may just get a glimpse of your love for us and your heart's desire to see your people loving one another as you have loved us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I looked at the program this morning and I saw one of the songs was Trust and Obey. And tears almost came to my eyes because that song means so much to me. When I first became a Christian, that was a song that I really took to my heart. And so it was wonderful just to see that on the list of songs this morning. So thanks, Therese. Thanks. I'm just going to read from Mark the commandments, or the, yes, commandments, plural. And it's Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 31. A teacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer. So he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, the most important one is this. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two. About 8 or 9 months ago, I was sitting in the congregation here, about where Maureen is now, and I can't remember the subject of the message that morning, but what I do remember very clearly was that those two commandments were read out in the progress of the message. When they had been read out, I believe that God said something to me immediately after. And if ever God has spoken to me before, this was so clear and so concise. It was a hard word. It was something like this. How can my people say that they love me with all their heart, their soul, their strength and mind, when my second commandment isn't truly fulfilled? That you love one another as you love yourself. He spoke those words in a very gentle and loving and concerned way. It wasn't harsh. It wasn't accusing, but it was so gentle. I emphasize that. And then he added, I cannot pour my spirit out until this happens on my church. Two Fridays ago, driving home from the shops, God spoke to me again and he said, why would I have said this but to show my people what my heart desires and requires? This isn't a condemnation, but an encouragement that can lead to a positive outcome and my spirit being poured out when I see this happening. So God just confirmed that this wasn't a condemnation at all, but this was an encouragement. He was pointing out what he desired in his heart for his people. And to God, he was saying that this hasn't happened quite yet. But I believe that God sees us as not being far from that place. And I don't say that in a sugary way or anything like that, but the reason why we came to Concordia to worship, to be members here, to be a part of the congregation, was because of the love of the people here. It was so overwhelming for us, for Maureen and myself, that I don't think we'd experienced anything quite like it before in a church. And so I'm very encouraged that God is encouraging us. And I'm going to just move through some of the scripture which supports those commandments. Now, one thing I want to point out is that the teacher of the law, when he asked the question of Jesus, he said, what is the most important commandment of all? In the singular, one commandment the teacher of the law was looking for. Now, Jesus didn't give him only that first commandment, but he gave him the second commandment as well. And I think that's very significant. Very significant. He asked for one, what is the greatest commandment of all? Yes, to love your Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, Jesus said. Why would he have said that if it wasn't important? Why would Jesus say and give that other commandment if it wasn't important to God, to Jesus? Because that commandment comes from God's heart to us. He wants us to experience the great love that we've received from him. And so I'm going to just to emphasize that command. And the command sounds a bit starchy and stiff, doesn't it? But it is a command. It's not something that God wishes or even asks, but he does command us. And one or two of the songs that we sang this morning are kind of along those lines. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we see, and now I give you a new commandment, love one another. Jesus said it and now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. I don't know if we've got quite to that point where our love is spreading abroad to other neighbourhoods, to other people, that they've heard of our love for one another. But this is what God desires, that our love would be that strong, that fervent, that genuine, that people will hear about it. In John 15:12, my commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. Now that's a quality of love, isn't it? Love one another just as I love you. The love of Christ, the quality of Christ's love to us, that's what he's asking the standard to be. And that word standard is not very good, I know. But that is the quality of love that Jesus is asking us. That's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. But that's what Jesus is asking of us. Just as I have loved you, love one another. God means that. He desires that in his heart. In Romans 13:8-10, be under obligation to no one. The only obligation you have is to love one another. Whoever does this has obeyed the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not commit murder, do not steal, do not desire what belongs to someone else. All these and others besides are summed up in the one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love someone, you will never do him wrong. To love, then, is to obey the whole law. It's in Matthew, at the end of the similar situation where the teacher of the law asks the same question, at the end, after Jesus has pointed out both commandments, he says, the whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. In Colossians 1:3-4, at the beginning, Paul's talking to the church at Colossae. He quite often encourages at the beginning of his letters, Paul, to the churches, by saying, you know, I've seen you and we really love you and we pray for you and all good things. Not in every letter, but in a lot of the letters to the churches, he does this. And here we have, we always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all God's people. So what Paul is saying here is that beyond the boundaries of Colossae, people have heard, Paul has heard, others have heard of the love that they have for all God's people. And I guess this is what we can aspire to. Why not? That our love will spread to other people. They will hear of our love for each other. In Colossians 1:7-8, you learnt of God's grace from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is Christ's faithful worker on our behalf. He has told us of the love that the Spirit has given you. More encouragement from Paul to the church there. In Galatians 5:13-14, as for you, my brothers, You were called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. For the whole law is summed up in one commandment: love your neighbor as you love yourself, being repeated again and again and again through scriptures. All these verses, I could have got a whole lot more, but I had to say to myself, stop. There's just an overflow of verses like this throughout, of this command, this love that we should have for each other. But that's a wonderful little statement there. Instead, let love make you serve one another. For the whole law, he's saying here, and this is God's word, this is God's inspired word, not only Paul talking, the whole law is summed up in one commandment: love your neighbor as you love yourself. So let's try and flesh this out a wee bit, because quite often we say, well, how do we love like that? How do we get to that stage? How do we get to that part where we are satisfying God's desire to see us love like that? In Hebrews 10:24, let us be concerned for one another. Concerned for one another. I asked somebody last Sunday how they were, and they said, oh yes, I'm fine. And I said, how are you? And they said, well, actually. So sometimes we've got to look past the first statement that people say, oh, I'm fine. But just look into their eyes and just see if there is something there that they need to express or talk about. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love, and to do good. There are some good pointers. Ephesians 4:2-3. Be always humble. It's amazing how often that word humble comes up in Scripture. Be humble. I wonder if that's hard to accomplish for some of us, being humble. I'm wondering if somebody could just get me a glass of water. My mouth is drying up and I probably won't be able to talk very soon. Which might be a good thing, isn't it? Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Patience, oh, that's a hard one. I find it very hard to be patient sometimes with people. So I've got a lot to learn. I'm not preaching to you just to say, you know, we've got to do this, but I'm talking to myself as well very much. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. Oh, thank you very much, Gaby. Thank you. Philippians 2:1-4. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. Here we go, Paul encouraging the church again. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. Kindness and compassion. There are all sorts of things that we can show people in our love. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble. Oh, there's that word again. Be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? And look out for one another's interests, not just for our own. Now, it mentioned oneness in one of those verses there, and I want to share with you and read out one of the most amazing prayers in the Bible, I believe. It is quite an amazing passage in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 20, starting. It's after Jesus was praying for his disciples and committing them to God the Father. And then we come across this passage, which is so moving. It's when I was reading it out the other day, I kind of almost had to stop several times because it just means so much. This is Jesus talking here, and it's a prayer. I pray not only for them, that is the disciples, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. So that's you and I. So this prayer is for us. I pray that they may all be one, Father! Exclamation mark. Now notice how many times we come across the word one. I pray that they may all be one, Father. May they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. You know, when we read passages like this, we have to dwell on some of these words because we can easily go over them quickly. And we miss really the intent and the desire that's behind. May they be in us, just as you are in me. That's amazing, isn't it? May they be in us, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. There we see that again. I gave them the same glory you gave me. That's amazing. I gave you and I, Jesus gave you and I, the same glory that the Father gave Jesus. We have that glory within us. We have that love that Jesus and the Father shares together. We have that love that we can give to each other. But the love is the same as Jesus gives us, and as the Father gives us, and as the Son receives from the Father. That is the same love that God is expecting us to have as well. And we do have it from Him, and He expects us to pass it on to each other. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one. There we are again. So that they may be one, bound together in love, bound together tightly, because this is God's desire, this is God's heart for us, that we should be one. Just as you and I are one, that is the Father and Jesus. He is comparing that to the oneness that we should have together. It should be the same as the love and the oneness that the Son and the Father share. That's the same standard that he's praying for. Just as you and I are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be completely one. There he goes again. But he emphasizes it. So that they may be completely one. Completely one. Jesus is praying to the Father. He's pouring his heart out for us. For us. In order that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me. Oh, praise God for that passage. It should mean so much to us as Christians. And another passage which we all know, and I think has been read recently, But just to emphasize what love really means to God. And this is what Paul is saying from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the well-known passage, I know. But we should include that in what we're talking about this morning. Spiritual gifts are really what the church needs. Indeed, it is. Spiritual gifts are so valuable to the church's life. But Paul comes in here and he puts them in perspective. I may be able to speak the languages of men and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. And that puts things completely in perspective. Love is what God is concerned about, first and foremost in our lives. And everything else comes second to that. Galatians 5:22-23. Now here we are. We've got 9 fruit of the Spirit listed here. I wonder how we measure up with some of them. But the Spirit, now it's the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Not us. We can't manufacture it. It's God's Spirit that produces it. That's what God's Word says. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. I miss out on a few of those, I think. I wonder how we measure up with those great gifts that the Holy Spirit is giving us in our lives. Are we letting Him produce these things in our lives? But this shows us some of the things, practical things, that we should look at and pray to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, please, I'm really lacking in some of these things. Please, Lord, let me see your fruit coming through. Let me be willing to be patient more, to be kind more to other people, to be faithful, to be humble, to be self-controlled, to love. Oh, Holy Spirit, please, I need to share that with you because I'm missing out on some of these things and it's my fault. I must let you in. Galatians 6 verse 10. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. So Paul is saying here, you know, it applies to everybody, you know, our love to the outsiders, but especially to those who belong to the family in the faith. Romans 12:10-13, love one another warmly as Christian brothers and sisters. I've added that. And be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and don't be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in all your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your home to strangers. Now here's just a little verse for people who don't belong to the Lord. Colossians 4:5-6. Be wise in the way you act towards those who are not believers, making good use of every opportunity you have. Your speech should always be pleasant and interesting, and you should know how to give the right answer to everyone. That's an important verse because it says that we should be pleasant. We shouldn't be hard and strict in our attitude towards non-believers. We shouldn't go at them. We shouldn't harangue them. But it says in other places too about talking to non-believers that we are to be pleasant, to be gentle with them, and to love them above all else, to love them. Just giving you an example in Christ, not saying that anything good about us about this, but when we first were appointed to the Christ group, there was a lady in the group who, an atheist, and her attitude towards us at the beginning was very cold and aloof and non-communicative at all. And to cut a long story short, as a couple of years have gone by, 2.5 years I think, she has changed completely in her attitude. She comes and talks to Maureen and to myself as much as she can. And she's always pleasant and laughing and having long conversations with us. And one day there was a table at the back of the hall where there are things which people bring in to give away. And she spotted this book on the back table, and it was about Christian quotes and different ideas for think spots and things like that that we have at Crafts. But all Christian things in this book. And she brought it over to me. And she said, you use things like this in your think spots sometimes. And she said, I thought you might want to perhaps use this in the future. And she was bringing to me a Christian book. Now, you know, that's only come about because we've never tried to harangue her or to, you know, kind of argue with her or anything like that. But just to talk to her about her affairs and things like that, to take an interest in her, and to love her. And, you know, her response has just changed completely. Now, we ask you to pray that she may go all the way and become one of the Lord's very soon in the future. So thank you for your prayers. I know you will pray for this lady. But it's just one example. I know my dad, who wasn't a Christian at all, but he came to see my baptism, and he met a chap at the church called Raleigh Helton, and I used to work just in between jobs at a real estate office, and he was the manager of the office there, and he got talking to Raleigh, and my dad was so impressed with Raleigh Helton, he said afterwards, he said, that man was such a special man. He said he was so nice, and he was just a wonderful person. And he was a Christian, of course, but the thing is, Dad was impressed with the way that he spoke to him. and, you know, gently and enthusiastically and showing an interest in Dad and what he did. And it makes a difference. It really, really does make a difference. You know, even a smile can make a difference. I read in a shop just passing the other day, it said some little catchy thing like, the greatest curve we can have in our bodies is a smile. And I thought, you know, that's quite good. Philippians 4:5 says, show a gentle attitude towards everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Just back again to underline those commandments. John 3:23. What he commands is that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as Christ commanded us. It's a command. It is a command, folks. It's a loving command, though. It's not a starchy, stiff command. It's a concerned desire of God's heart that we should love one another. And he commands us to do that. 1 John 4, 7-12. Dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God shows his love for us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. Maybe God is saying we can go a little bit further in our love for each other. Maybe that's what he's saying, in a very gentle way, in a very loving way. I guess that this love in some ways is indefinable. But God looks at the desire we have in our feelings and attitudes for each other. And whether they are truly genuine, I guess that's what God looks for. My friends, I'm going to end by just saying again that what God said to me in that service was said with such gentleness and love and care that how can my people say that they love me when truly they haven't fulfilled the commandment to love one another? But then he said, this is an encouragement for this church. This is an encouragement. It's not a condemnation. It's an encouragement that you're not far off. And when this happens, my Spirit will be poured out on this church. So let's take this as an encouragement from God this morning. Maybe now to finish, we could just perhaps pray in silence, just talking to God about helping us to love each other in a way which we haven't done before. To have the Holy Spirit stirred up in our hearts. To show us the way, to hold our hands as we reach out to our neighbours and to each other. So let's just pray in silence for a minute. Father, we thank you that this morning, by your word, you have poured your heart out to us. You have bared yourself to us. You have come to us and want to be joined to us so much more closely. But your heart's desire to see that each one of us would love just as Jesus loves us, and that you love us this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that love. We thank you that you've shown us what that love is in our lives. Lord, help us to share it. Help us to give it away. Help us to love one another as you have asked us and commanded us to do. Because we ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.